Vanessa Lee is the founder of The Things We Do, a top injector, and a trusted authority in the world of beauty and skincare. Now, she's hosting a podcast. Join her as she covers all the things we do for beauty, best kept secrets, and weird shit included. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the podcast. I have a special guest today. I have with me Nikon Rivera, who is one of our PAs at The Things We Do. Nikon, say hi.
Hi.
Such a treat to have you. Thank you so much for being on the pod.
I'm so excited to be here. This is so cool.
Nobody calls it the pod. I'm sorry. Okay. So I want to ask you a few questions, but I think we can go ahead and start off with maybe let's explain how we met and started our little romance, cis romance.
You mean how I stalked you?
And how I stalked you back afterwards? Can you start us off?
Yeah. So I was just in my first or second year of aesthetics. And, you know, I was working for a pretty aggressive clinic. It was kind of a clinic that was mainly focused on kind of saying yes to the patient, doing everything the patient wants, a little bit afraid to say no for whether it's Yelp reviews or just disappointing patients. And it was really after my first year where I was like, you know, some of these people like look crazy. Some of these people don't need any more products and I have a hard time saying no. And so I had just gone on Instagram and I think my Allergan rep actually recommended your page. Because I was just learning like, oh my gosh, businesses are on Instagram. What is this? I mean, I was so late to the Instagram world. So I came across your page and at that time it was the Beauty Soiree.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, she is like exactly what I want to be right now. And she is the voice that I haven't heard yet in aesthetics. And, you know, I had interviewed with a lot of clinics before I even entered aesthetics and no one mentioned like, hey, we want to do what's best for the patient. We want to do what's most natural. So I feel like my first year, I was just like learning all these, you know, advanced techniques. I wasn't really learning what's best for the patient, what's safest for the patient, what's going to be in their best interest. And so once I heard your voice and kind of what you're promoting, I was like, this is my mentor. This is how I want to mold my career. And so I think that's like when I really started like stalking you. And so I had requested you for several trainings and you were so busy at the time training, they couldn't schedule you. So when you had your first beauty theory course, I was like, I'm sure I was like the first person to sign up. For sure it was me.
So the first beauty theory, you guys, and beauty theory is a course that I hold for injectors and medical providers. Sometimes they're beginner courses and sometimes they're more advanced courses. And Nikon and I are having one this coming Saturday on the 3rd. Saturday is the 3rd, right?
4th?
Is it third the 4th?
I think it's the 4th. That's what we'll figure this out.
This coming Saturday, the first Saturday of April. Oh my God. This is what quarantine does to you. You have no idea what day it is.
Oh, the days are bleeding.
You don't wear underwear anymore.
Yeah.
I'm bottomless right now. Just kidding. So the beauty theory course, the first one that we held, it sold out so quickly. And then I remember just being so nervous because it was my first time doing a training that was outside of Allergan. The thing with like Allergan trainings and Galderma trainings is that you have to be so on label and you can only talk about, you know, approved ways of using their products. And we all know that in office, we do so many off-label things that are well accepted and received in the field. And I couldn't teach on those things. And so I thought, why don't I go ahead and put on my class? And I don't have to say I do things in one way, which I don't really use in the office. I can say how I really do it in the office. Yeah. So the first one I put on my own, and it was kind of unprecedented at the time for a provider to go out and do this on that scale, because we had around maybe like 50 to 60 attendees at the time. And I held it in LA. And I remember thinking when everyone was like coming in and filling in the seats, like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. Look at all these people. Like, it is on. And I remember Nikon's eyes were so thirsty in the best way possible. He was like, yes. And I think that at the and it's so funny because now Nikon is one of our providers at the things we do. And so is Janet. And she went to that class and that's how I first met her also. And she's one of our nurses, but I think our team has been just kind of like this collection of people over time who I've like had these connections with instantly. And Nikon at the class, like her eyes were like glued on me and her questions were like, I would teach on something and she'd be like, that's great, but how do you do this? And I would be like, oh my God, her questions. I could tell that
I was like front row and center.
Yeah. Front row, center, eyes locked on me. Like you see those you see those like makeup memes where the makeup artist is like, when you're doing your customer's makeup and they're staring into your soul, like it was like the best thing possible for me. Cause I felt for me, it was really encouraging because I felt like, wow, she's really taking something away from all of this. And she was asking all of the right questions. And it seemed like she was very concerned for her patients in the sense that she wanted to give them the best possible. And it was one of those things where years ago, when we first held this class, there was no like secret sharing of like what works for you and what doesn't work. It was all very like polished on Instagram and like, this is my technique and I'm not going to show videos or like, I'm going to show like a snippet, but I'm not going to explain it. And, you know, like having that kind of like camaraderie wasn't as big and as popular as it is now. And thank goodness it is now. But from that class, I was like, I remember I pulled her aside afterwards and I asked her also to be, and I think they wanted you to be on the commercial also, like have you talk, but you were like so into it, like the class, that they didn't pull you away.
Yeah.
Right?
I was trying to get like as much info.
Yeah.
As
you were, I remember you were like, I'm sorry, I really need to pay attention so I can't be in the commercial part. And I was like, oh, like so touched. And here we are. I mean, how many years have you been providing now?
Going on 8.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Fly.
The thing is, you are like the first voice, I think, on Instagram to really encourage providers to do what's best for the patient. So I know your class wasn't for your own benefit. It wasn't for like the benefit of your practice or your patients. You were really presenting your knowledge and your theory and your philosophy to better the whole aesthetic field. And really no one was doing it at that time. Like you said, people were kind of keeping their techniques secretive or, you know, like they weren't really sharing what they think is best for the patient. And you were the first provider who was like, no, I will say no. And I will say no over and over again. And I'm not afraid to say no. And, you know, there's definitely people who are getting carried away in this field. And there's patients who don't have the right concept or the right expectations. And I'm here to set that straight. And I think then it kind of like led this wave of providers connecting and, you know, but you were definitely, for me at least, and I think for many people, the first voice on Instagram that was really promoting that.
Thank you. That's so kind. I don't know if I was the first, but I think that with the platform of social media and like how I got into it at the timing I did, mm-hmm. thanks to the pushing of my husband, who was like an advertising like guru. Things just blew up that way. But yeah. I will say also, I don't think it's due to the field lacking wanting to do the best for our patients. I do think that because the only way to get trainings previously with injectables was through the companies that provide these products and manufacture these products. Yeah. At the end of the day, these companies are a business and mm-hmm. Our reps are salespeople and I love them. They're fantastic. But at the same time, when you're learning techniques from a company whose number one priority is making sure that you're buying from them, mm-hmm. it twists things a little bit, you know? Yeah. So it's not always what's best for the patient. Yeah. Sometimes it's about quantity and how much you can do for someone. So this was our chance to really turn things around. So I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you came to that class. It's mm-hmm. like changed everything. And I love you. You're such an amazing provider.
Oh, I love
can you tell me some of your strengths as a provider? What do you feel like are your 1 to 2 things that really set you apart? Because I've watched you grow like crazy over the past several years. And I remember, since I don't take any new patients anymore, I don't hear this as much, but we have thin walls and I'll hear patients say this to you like, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm meeting you. I followed you for so long. Like, I'm so excited. You're the best. I love your results and what you showcase on social media and what I see on like Instagram. You did my girlfriend. She looks fantastic. So can you tell me 1 or 2 things that really set you apart as a medical provider?
I think I'm like sometimes it's not always like the best for business, but I think as a provider, I'm incredibly honest. And I always tell patients, like, I'm never going to recommend something to you that I haven't tried, that I haven't really seen the results myself. You know, I think with how innovative this field is becoming and has been, there's always new treatments coming on. And for example, threads, I didn't recommend threads for any of my patients until several months after I had my own threads.
Yeah.
And until I really made sure this worked and I see a result and right. I was hearing so much about it. And once I finally saw my result after a few months and made sure it wasn't just kind of like this quick 4 week swelling that looks good. And then after that, you don't see a big difference.
Right.
So it's when I see those results, and same thing with PRF. It was like the first time I did PRF, I was kind of skeptical. And once I saw the results and how much better it was than PRP, I immediately started telling my patients, like, hey, this is what we're going to start using from now on. And so I think I won't, that's probably my biggest thing, is that if I'm recommending something to you, I know it's going to work. I'm not going to recommend something to kind of be like,
you're wonderfully honest. Sometimes I'll hear you say to a patient, they'll ask you like, can I do this? And you'll be like,
more so I'm kind of like, hey, you're not going to see a big result. You're not going to be happy. I want you, you know, this is an investment for patients. And so, I want patients to really feel like when they're investing, they're going to be guaranteed results and results that they're happy with, and kind of, and also really managing their expectation. And that's where I think sometimes, like, not necessarily like scare people away, but I get them to realize, like, hey, there is downtime. There are things that can happen. And, you know, this is the result that, you know, you'll end up with. And is that exactly what you want? And if so, then great. It's a perfect match. Like, let's move forward.
Yeah. I think that's a huge part of the culture at the Things We Do, is really breaking it down so that patients know, you know, this is a serious treatment. It's not surgery, but, you know, there is some downtime to it, and we're going to walk you through, and it's a bit of a journey. I think what you're really good at too is laying out all the options for the patients, and then being able to say, you're like a great lawyer. You're like, these are all your options, but this is what I'd advise you to do. You know what I mean? Because
yeah, I think a lot of times, it's because I'm so indecisive that, like, I can't make a decision unless I know every option on the table. And so you're so right. I do that. Thank you.
But I think that really empowers the patients, because they feel like, you know, sometimes when you go, I think when patients go to a specific place, like a derm office, plastics, or med spa, and they'll feel like their person, their provider, does one thing really well, and that's the way they do it. And if they bring something up, I've heard this from patients before. If they bring something up, like, what about this technique? And it'll just get bashed by the provider because they don't offer that. Mm-hmm. I think what we're really good at is saying, like, you know, you specifically, these are your options. Here's like the spectrum of what you can do. And on the less invasive side, we can do this. I also have a surgery consult or referral for you that I can go ahead and give you. But within the less invasive side, here are three options. Mm-hmm. I think this would be best for you, but what do you think? How do you feel about that? Mm-hmm. I think that that's really empowering for a patient, because you're giving them a choice instead of just placing a plan on them and saying, this is what we're going to do no matter what. It's great to have them a part of the plan. So let me ask you this. What happens when a patient is a part of the plan and they want to bring up all of their own, you know, little techniques that they've seen off of social media and off of YouTube, and they're really pushing for them, for you to do that one thing for them, but you know it's not a good idea? How do you work around that now? Because previously, before, you used to just do it for them or try to make it work, right?
Yeah,
so now how do you handle that conversation?
That's such a great point, because I get that more and more, like, especially for lips, especially for tear troughs. I've had patients come in who only want to do cannula in their tear troughs. And I just feel like their tissue support in that area, we really need to do it with the needle, even if it means bruising. Patients will come in all the time and show me like a lip tinting technique.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I'll put it back on them. Like, okay, well, where did you find this technique? And they'll kind of be like, oh, Instagram. And I'll kind of say, well, how do you know this is the best technique for your tissue? Oh, because this is just what I see. And so I'll kind of get them to understand my perspective. Because if I'm kind of like, well, I'm not going to do that, sometimes they might think like, oh, well, maybe it's because she doesn't know that technique. And I think that's part of my responsibility as a provider, is to get familiar with all the techniques. And that way I truly know objectively what's best for each patient. If I don't know, and if I'm not staying on top of my own education, Yeah, maybe there is a better technique that I don't know and I can't offer for that patient.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of our responsibility and something I pursue, you know, as you know, with all the trainings I go to, even for myself, is to figure out all the techniques, what works best for each patient. And I kind of try to, you know, I'll inform them of that. And that's something I try to display on my Instagram. So when they do come to see me, they really trust my opinion. Yeah. And I'll just let them know, well, like, you know, look at her tissue, look at your tissue. You know, the photo you're showing me is a very different anatomy than what you have. So if I did that technique on you, this is what would happen. And yes, I'm familiar with that technique. I understand why you like this video, or I understand why you're coming to me with this technique, but this is truly not going to give you the best result. And so I kind of approach it more objectively. I think sometimes people can get defensive, like, well, then why did you pick me as a provider? You know, or like, don't show me other people's pictures. And I think the reality is people are sitting on Instagram. That's how they're getting introduced to this aesthetic field. So yeah. I think the best approach is really getting them to understand that they're picking me for a certain reason. And so if they were picking the technique, they should go to that person who's doing that technique. But, you know, they're trusting me and my experience and everything I do on my free time to educate myself, so that when I tell them this is not the best technique for your result, for your tissue, for the most natural result, for longevity, they really trust that. And then I kind of like try to nip it. Like if they keep approaching other techniques, then I start almost thinking that might be like a red flag patient. Like I start thinking that they're trying to take
control. I definitely think so.
You know, like if they just keep going on and on over techniques, then I might say, well, you know what, maybe you should, if this is really what you want to do and you don't think that my opinion or, you know, my experience is going to give you the best result, then I'm happy to just give you my input and you're free to find another provider. Like I don't really try to get into it with them much, because they don't, you know, sometimes some patients are really savvy. Some patients really are just getting focused on like the Instagram feed and what they think is going to be the best result.
Right. Okay. So I do want to bring up threads because they're such a hot topic right now. And you and I are the leads when it comes to threads and treating patients at the things we do. So can you just give a brief background on threads and what they are? And maybe we'll talk about like the barbed, non-barbed, and then we can go into the course.
Yes. So I think working in plastic surgery, we were getting a lot of requests for lifting, and patients want lift, lift, lift. And, you know, I, again, same thing, like we all realize, like we go to these trainings that the companies put on and it's like 7-8 syringes. And I just knew right off the bat, like, even if patients have the budget for that, it's not going to give them the lift they want. And that's how people are looking cheeky and overfilled. So I was kind of on a hunt for what's going to give the most lift non-surgically that's not going to look crazy and it's going to look natural. And that's when I kind of stumbled upon threads. And so when we had our first training, again, I was kind of skeptical because I was like, how do these little pieces of threads like really lift and hold the tissue?
Yeah.
And then I started going on like, you know, different Korean websites and like realizing how big this is in Korea. And I think, you know, Korea's always been like a leader of skin products.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, sometimes to the extent where it's like they're doing these crazy surgeries. But when I started realizing like,
Your face is like, your face is completely like this, different. And then afterwards, you have this little tiny face.
Like jawline shaving and things like I'd never
heard. Yeah.
So when I realized it's been in Korea for like 30 years and Europe's been using them for over a decade, and I was just seeing like, okay, this is a lot more collagen stimulation.
Yes.
It's a natural lift.
People aren't
like crazy and puffy. So then I was like all on board about learning them. And the same thing, I couldn't get on board until I tried it myself. Like once I saw, you know, and I was at a point where I was like in my early, late 20s, approaching 30, where naturally and genetically I was starting to get kind of heavy in my mid phase, Persian background. And I felt like, gosh, I'm doing my fillers like every 4 to 6 months and I'm not getting the lift I want. And so when I finally did my threads and I saw my tissue lift, I was like, okay, this is probably swelling, you know, in 2 weeks, it's going to come down.
Yeah.
And it's funny because that's when I started working with you at another clinic.
Yeah.
And I totally felt kind of puffy for a few weeks, which is normal. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to walk in here looking kind of crazy. And no one could tell, like no one could tell I had done something.
Yeah.
So, and then it was really like at the 4 week mark where I was like, wow, this is exactly how I wanted my face to look for like the last 2 years that I just couldn't get with fillers and like other products.
Right.
It was also the one time my husband was like, babe, this looks really good. Cause sometimes I come home kind of swelling.
Wow.
Like, oh fuck. What did you do now? Like, you're going to look crazy. And I'm like, no, it's just swelling, which is a common concern. I think for patients is like, they don't want, you know, whatever, significant others, family members to think they've done something or look kind of
crazy.
So of course I came home that night, like really tight, but as it settled, even he was kind of like, this looks supernatural. Like, you know, because I kept telling him like, just wait, it's going to look really good.
Yeah.
I have high hopes. And it did. And it was, I felt for almost like a year and a half, I really didn't have to do like a lot of my maintenance besides my Botox.
Yeah.
Whereas I was getting in a, you know, kind of some similar thing our patients get into. Like they just want to keep doing a little bit of filler, a little bit of filler to maintain that lift. And when I finally did my threads, it was like a good year and a half. I didn't really feel like I had to touch anything up. And so that's kind of when I was first introduced to them. And then within a few months of my results, I was like, all right, like most of my patients who've been wanting something similar to this and have good tissue are going to just love this and be on board.
Yeah. So the if you are listening right now or watching and you don't have threads available for your patients at the office that you work at, we still love fillers. Like I think fillers are still my first love because you can mm-hmm. really like help mold a face. But I think the addition of having threads in your, you know, palette of what you can offer your patients changes things in the way that you're not adding volume to the face. You're able to lift tissue and thicken skin tissue in certain areas where it's starting to thin and not have to look puffy or weird if you're doing things correctly. So it's a nice way to get a lift to the skin. It's not comparable to what you can do with surgery by any means, but preventatively, it's a really nice tool. I love it so much. And all of my patients who have done filler with me over the years, what I haven't been able to do for them, everything in the upper and mid face looks fantastic. And we always get right here in like the pre-jowl sulcus or in the jowl itself and in the chin where there's that drop off where you're either adding filler or you're hoping to take away with Kybella, but then you have that skin left over and there's like elasticity loss that can't quite get filled with filler unless you're using like 6 in your jawline and that doesn't look feminine. So when threads, I started adopting that into my, I guess, what I could offer patients. It really completed everything. I remember about like 8 years ago, I was treating a patient and she was Korean and she was telling me that she just had threads in her face 5 years ago. And at that point I was like, threads, what do you mean? And she goes, cause this is 8 years ago, you know? And she was like, well, I had threads. I flew to Thailand and I had the gold threads placed into my face. And I was like, oh my God, gold threads. And she was like, actual gold threads. And I was like, well, how do you like them? And she was like, it was terrible. They started poking out of my face like 4 years later.
Wow.
So we had to get it removed because they're not dissolvable, right?
Right?
So the threads that are on our market now are much more sophisticated. Having gold in your face sounds bougie as hell. And really cool in like some kind of like weird future dystopian situation. But what we use is dissolvable sutures. So what happens is you place the threads in and then in the skin, the threads sit for about a couple of months, depending on their thickness. While they are dissolving, what's happening is they're breaking down and your skin, the collagen is triggered to build new collagen in the area and will take the space of the thread. So I think it's really special because we're able to do lifts, but also really delicate areas where there's a specific right underneath the cheekbone where you get that inward dip in the submalar area where we really don't place filler. I mean, I've tried Dr. Swift's techniques in that area and it's all good for a little while, but then after about a couple of months, even if you're using Voluma, I don't feel like it holds very well. So when you're able to produce a nice bit of collagen there, that your own collagen, you're not relying on that to over the next like 6 months break down and dissolve out of your body. Like your own collagen is going to stay with you for the next year or two, depending on, you know, your collagen production. So that's why I think they're so special. Let's go ahead and let them know. Oh, go ahead.
Just one thing I was going to say, I agree with you, you know, like filler and Botox is always my first place to start.
Yeah.
And I always say threads are for areas that we no longer can really utilize filler and Botox or, you know, and that's where smooth threads come in. I mean, I think people always think of like the barbs and the lifting threads and oh gosh, this sounds kind of crazy, but the smooth threads are, I haven't had a single patient do smooth threads who didn't want to do them again. And it's just because so minimal downtime and, you know, I think really all threads if done properly have minimal downtime, maybe like some bruising and swelling here and there, but with the smooth threads, we can really target areas where I really think before we didn't have an option, kind of like that lid cheek area where people feel like they want volume, but if it's too much volume, they'll look cheeky. If we do Botox there, people kind of get like that dead eye, they look frozen. You know, like fine lines around the mouth, or same thing, like too much Botox will make them feel kind of immobile. Filler will almost always look puffy a little bit above the lip. And so that's where it's, like you said, it's kind of like completed that toolbox. And there's so many different types of threads. It's like an art. It's like a whole new ball game when you get into threads, because you don't, it's not just these lifting threads. It's just twists and volumizing threads and all these things we didn't have before. So it's
brow lifting threads, threads for the bridge of your nose, threads to lift your nose, threads in like the laugh lines and the lip area, lifting threads, you know, mini threads for even brightening in the under eye. There's so many things. Okay. So Nikon and I are having a course this Saturday, which I'm going to figure out the right date right now. It's April 4th. Okay. It's April 4th is the Saturday. Sorry, guys. April 4th, this Saturday, and we are going over everything threads. We are also going over combination therapies because we use, so we use a lot of PRF at our office, a lot of PRFM, like a ton of it. I think we probably are, who we go through is one of the biggest, we're probably the biggest account, if anything. I don't know. I'm just saying that. I actually don't know the numbers, but we do a ton.
Yeah. Out of all the clinics I've worked at, like, I feel like we're going through tubes.
Yeah.
Like multiple
tubes. Yeah. It's insane. And the reason is because we love it so much. But in the class, I think the course is going to be, it's a virtual course, first of all. So you'll just be on something like this. But what we're going to concentrate on are more of like the bioactivators. Mm-hmm. So the threads, the PRFs, and how to really utilize those different types of treatments to kind of carry your fillers and Botox techniques to the next level, because that's what we use at the things we do to really set ourselves apart besides our charming personalities. Yes. I'm sure. Right. I bet our patients are like, you guys are so annoying. But yeah, I think that it's going to be an amazing class. A lot of people have already signed up. I'm very excited. It's my first virtual course. If this goes well, I don't think I'll ever go back into a hotel banquet hall ever again. I think I'll just do everything. No, this is tight.
Really?
This is cool. Yeah. I mean, I love meeting people for sure, but think about provider Joni out in Iowa who can't take all that time away from her kids and fly to California and do all that. Like, it's really great that we're going to be able to have this for people all over. I'm super excited.
You know, I think that's one thing people have realized. I think like the silver lining in this whole, you know, Corona pandemic is that people are realizing
coronavirus.
People are realizing like there's so many other ways to stay connected that allows them to not take time away from their family and like time from their loved ones. So it's like super cool. I'm actually excited to see how like everything's going to evolve once we get back to normal life.
Okay. What do you think has been the best thing so far about having to stay home?
Oh, shoot. Honestly, like I love not getting dressed. I know it sounds like gross.
That's
like,
exactly like, what the fuck I was going to say.
Now because I'm on here, but like waist down, I'm still in my leggings.
I love not having, I mean, I love clothes. I love fashion. I love all that stuff. But now that it's not even like a thought in my head, right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't even have to worry about like looking a certain way or whatever. My kids just want me to be there and be present.
Yeah.
My husband just wants me to have adult time with him. Yes. He doesn't care if I'm wearing like all neutrals to look the most fashion. You know what I mean? Like it's wonderful. It's really wonderful. Okay. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yes.
You're safe. Everyone's good.
I feel like it's going to change so many of us. Like we're never...
Yeah, for
even
sure.
Even for me, like, you know, the whole, as much of a hustle bustle LA is, it's really taught me like, you know, there's some busyness that matters, obviously. And then there's some busyness that like really doesn't matter. And I think being forced to let go of so much of like the silly busyness and making us realize like, gosh, all this time we're like at home with our kids to just read. Like I don't know the last time I picked up a book and I'm loving it.
I'm reading.
Oh, I know, me too.
I'm reading books, not just magazines.
Yes.
I'm, what else am I doing? Definitely not cutting my toenails.
Okay. What's been the one thing that you can't wait to get back to?
I can't wait to get back to hugging people. I really miss that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Yeah. One thing.
I can't wait to just be outside again. Like I feel, even though we go for like a little walk, like being in the sun is so, of course I have my sun hat and like my sunblock, but just like driving and like, you know, listening to podcasts and like kind of being outside. I really miss being outside.
Yeah, for sure.
It's hard.
Well, We'll get there soon, sis.
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes. Thank you so much for being on the podcast with us. I will see you virtually this Saturday for our class. If you guys are interested in registering for the class, go to VanessaLeeRN.com. And there's an area that says beauty theory registration on the website, and go ahead and press that and you can read on the details. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye.